We start with the veteran news anchor, Donna Britt. She is facing a tough battle with ALS. Last week, she announced to the world that she has been diagnosed. Good morning.
It's my pleasure. I love your show.
well, thank you, Donna. This is a tough battle, but you've had some in the past. What's your frame of mind right now?
Well, my frame of mind is just to keep on going. You know, if these are surf waves coming at you, you just try and surf over each one. And so it's figuring out things. Like right now, we're converting our house into a disabled house. Well, when I was younger, I put tile on the kitchen floor and put cherry wood transitions between the hardwood floor and the tile, and I can't roll my wheelchair over them. They are barricades to me now. I mean, I can leaving the kitchen, but I can't come back. I've got to get someone in the house to lift my wheelchair over those transitions. So there are things like that that have to be changed over so that I can just function the way I used to. It's not like I'm trying to be a superwoman in the house. I'm just trying to get back to where I was.
And you're working simultaneously, and we will talk about that. But a year ago, my guess is that you had no idea that you had any problems at all.
Oh, Jim. A year ago, we took Louie on a vacation. We got in a car and drove to Rhode Island, where our daughter lives. And on the way, we stopped at almost every Civil War site and Revolutionary War site, because Louie last year was going to, in the 10th grade, study American history. And we had family stories in many of the places we stopped. So it's like, stand here and your Uncle Isaac, you know, your great-great Uncle Isaac, you know, kind of thing. We hiked the entire vacation, and there was no indication at all of this oncoming storm. It was just, it was beautiful, you know, Gettysburg, Harper's Ferry, all these wonderful sites, and it was a really good vacation. But 2 years ago, I went on an extreme Boy Scout adventure with Louie, and we climbed 90 or 80 miles worth of mountains on the Canadian border with our Boy Scout troop carrying canoes on our shoulders over the mountains and then paddling them across the lakes. I had worked out for 2 months, twice a day, to get ready so that I would have the stamina to do it, and I nailed it. I did.
Well, when was the first indication that you had some issues?
It was last September. I didn't know it then. We figured it out later. But Mark and I would walk around the lakes, just part of the lakes that's 3 miles long, and I would get absolutely hobbled by the end of the walk. Now, I had bones coming out of alignment in my foot called a bunion, and that was hurting my right foot. And so we both kind of figured, why is she stumbling? Why is she tripping at the end of this? We thought it was the bunion. So I had a bunionectomy, and about a week before I had the surgery to correct my foot, my left leg lost about 40% of its strength. Well, in my mind, I've got this big surgery coming up. I'm going to see a doctor. So I didn't go to the doctor, and I thought, well, maybe I had like a mini stroke or something. Well, Cheryl Mercedes' mom had had a stroke, and she told me how her mom took physical therapy and wiped out the symptoms that she had suffered in her stroke. And so I thought, if I'm going to be on a knee scooter for 6 weeks, maybe this left leg being the only mode of transportation will get strong again. And it didn't. And that was at the point where, when I got rid of the knee scooter and I'm in the foot cast, we went to Italy over Mardi Gras last year and walked around Italy, but I was tenuous then. You know, like, yeah. I'd be walking. We actually went to the Vatican on the day after Ash Wednesday, which was crazy because it was like the Mecca with Muslims in there. It was so crowded. And so I would start to fall, and a guy to the left of me that I didn't know would just set me back up on my feet, and I'd say, I'm so sorry, and he'd say, oh, this is what I do for my mom all the time, you know. But so I basically started losing my legs first. And that's the way it usually happens with ALS, is there is some region that it starts in first. And when I got the cast off my right foot, I realized that I had been using that cast as an orthopedic device to strengthen my leg. And so I went and got another brace. I had a brace on my left leg already. I got a brace that comes up to the knee on my right. It sort of organizes the bottom of your foot so you can concentrate on organizing your thighs. But I have lost significant muscles now in my hips. It used to be that I could move my legs, you know, the legs are dead, but I can move my legs with my hips. But I'm losing those muscles as of like a week or a week and a half ago, and I can't lift my leg. I have one step to climb to get in the back of my house, and I can't do it now. The boys have to lift my foot up and put it up there and then lift me up on the step.
Well, how is the process going as far as getting your house situated so you can maneuver there and also continuing your very active work activities? We see you on the air, and there would be no indication other than your announcement that there was a problem, but you have to have had made some adjustments.
Well, Channel 9 has been absolutely wonderful, and what they've said is, tell us what you need, and they've just been sort of knocking those things down for me. Now, for right now, I am riding the wheelchair around the building because with the walker, I would have a knee get disorganized, and I would just fall for no reason, but I would fall in a workplace, which is not acceptable. Well, I guess falling's not acceptable. But anyway, I needed to be in a wheelchair, so I ride the wheelchair into the studio, and then I use a cane and stand at the desk. But in about a week, I am getting a state-of-the-art motorized wheelchair.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm very excited about that. The thing is, it's custom-made for me. And because with ALS, Jim, I learned that you don't really work out to strengthen the muscles you have left. Because if you work out to the point of feeling the burn, you are ruining the muscles that you already, that you still have. And so you can only exercise to maintain your muscles. You cannot seek to get stronger in any way. And so wheeling myself around the station right now with a wheelchair that's not motorized is actually bad for my arms. So when I get the motorized chair, there will be no more concerns about that, and I'll be able to preserve my arms better. But this wheelchair... how are we doing on time?
We're doing okay? Fine. We're doing great.
All right. This wheelchair has all these things that you can put on it. And, like, I didn't get the cell phone holder. I don't need that right now. But they have an elevator that can lift you up to where I can see eye to eye with my 5'11" son. I can press a button and go up 12 inches. And so what I think I can do when I get this wheelchair is just simply roll up to the desk, you know, hit the 12-inch elevator, get up to the level of the desk, lower the armrest, and take the headrest off, and presto, change-o, I'm there. I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, I love your attitude. Barry in Mid-City. Barry, you're on Talk Louisiana with Donna Britt. Hi, Barry.
Hey, good morning, and good morning, Donna.
Good morning.
Make sure you know, this is Barry Weinstein. I want to make sure you know you're my every prayer, and you are 6 feet tall always in my vision and in the vision of all of us who love you throughout Louisiana.
Oh, thank you, Barry. I love you. Well, I'll be the Iron Giant, you know? But this wheelchair is kind of like the kind that Stephen Hawking has in that it's very adaptable. But, like, for the first time, I'll have a wheelchair that's actually my size, made for my body. It should be really cool. I'm looking forward to it.
You, as always, have the great attitude, Donna. You pick people up when you're down, and you have a family. How is it going with them?
They are not handling it so well. I mean, they are the ones that are my arms and legs, and they are the ones that watch the incremental disappearance of my muscles. I have a 16-year-old son, and he is depressed. And you can tell him all day that every day is good and every day we're going to meet the challenges and everything, but he is an analytical kid, and he knows what the life expectancy is for ALS. And so it's very hard for him.
Donna, I know you thought it might be MS. There were all kinds of thoughts about what it might be. But when you did get the diagnosis, what was your reaction?
Well, doctors hand it to you in a way that softens the blow. You know, they basically tell you all the tests that point to it, and then they say, that is what you have, you know. And the truth is that Mark Ballard and I knew, my husband and I, knew that it must be ALS, because I had a maternal uncle who died from ALS. There had always been the story that my maternal grandmother died in a fetal position with dementia, but it's possible that she had ALS. You know, and so when it's a familial link like that, you've got to see that as a possibility in your scenario. I do think that the doctors were very good about telling me that it's how you manage these new symptoms that pop up, the new paralyses, and how you learn to live with that that determines how long you live. And it's just a question of, what turns paralyzed next? Is it so pivotal that it stops my life, or is it something that I can cope with and then move on? So I'm looking forward to figuring it out, you know, because I want to be around.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that to go forward, I'm not going to look at the possibility of dying every day. That's just totally depressing. And I'm going to live life for living every day, and that's the way I will handle it.
And most of us who are listening to you right now have appreciated your work for several decades on Channel 9. And for those unaware, you started there in the most unusual of ways. This wasn't like something that you sought. It came about, and boom, you were there, and you've been there a long time at the top of your game. But how did it begin at WAFB?
Well, I was the oldest of seven children in my family, and four of us were in college at the same time. I needed a job where I could work one day a week while in college, because I was flag choreographer of the LSU Tiger Band for 3 years, and the only day open was Sunday. So I went to Baton Rouge Vo-Tech on Winburn and studied DJ, radio DJ, with two guys who worked at WYEK, and I got a job at a radio station by the railroad tracks in Denham Springs called WLBI. And I worked there for, like, the rest of the school year. And then those doctors said, hey, we'll hire you full-time this summer. And I go, hot dog. So I move off of the LSU campus. See, I'm a student. I move off of the LSU campus with two roommates, and we're in a house. And then they say, oops, we're not going to be able to pay you full-time. So I ended up on WYNK. I had to find another job to pay for that house. Anyway, I was a DJ, the first woman on WYNK, and the second week that I was on the air, Carlton Cremines said he was driving in his truck up to his camp in St. Francisville, and he realized halfway through a newscast that it was local news. And then he realized that, wait, this person is local. So he didn't have anything to write on, he said, and he wrote Donna James on his dashboard. That was my DJ name on WYNK, and he called me that Monday and invited me to come in and audition to be a weather girl. And I said, well, look, I've only been working here 2 weeks. I'm not going to do that. I don't start a job and then quit. And then he says, now I really want to talk to you. You have ethics. So anyway, I went in. We talked for a job interview. It was 2.5 hours long, because we were swapping stories. We loved telling stories. And he had me go in the studio. And see, Wink at that time didn't have a news department, so DJs were running down the hall, ripping wire copy off the big clackety machine, and coming in and reading the news and then hitting a cartridge that said, this is a country giant news break on WYNK, you know, something like that. Well, I just went in the studio. He had me go in and read for the camera. And when I came out, he said, you have everything you need to be a top-flight anchorwoman. He said, you're eloquent, you have a curious mind, you have a wonderful voice. He said, you're smart. He said, if you will start from the bottom and learn this business, I will make you an anchorwoman. And I said, well, let me finish college first. And he waited 9 months to hire me. And I, at that time, worked 6 days at WINK and 2 days at WAFB just to make sure I liked TV. And then after being near the point of collapse from working 7 days a week, I quit, wink, and went full-time in January of 81 at WAFB.
And what a rarity it is for somebody to be at the same place in this business, in your business, for 37 years.
Well, it is a rarity, but there's so much here that's good. I mean, you could move to larger markets, and you will work with people that don't really care that you're in the room with them. What you have in this shop is friends. And I do think that we have the best news diet in the country, with two universities, natural disasters, lots of industry, a culture that just sparkles with all the fun that we have. You know, we have so many fun things. Think about the mega event of Race for the Cure. Just think about how much it took off and how pink, how it was a pink parade. Just we have a party around causes, and we take care of things. I love the place.
Well, Donna, it's always an honor to talk with you, and you have inspired us for 37 years and will continue to do so. And thanks for staying the course, and I look forward to many more conversations with you.
My pleasure. Thank you, Jim.
Take care. See you soon. Donna Britt.